his parents have done a fine job at raising him. No judgment. We're looking at Micah 6:8, and Pastor Gary and Beverly the Brooks, they're on holidays last week and this next week, which is awesome. And Gary asked me to talk a little bit about this passage of Scripture, and I've never thought of this until this week, but I think if I had like a list of verses that I kind of like really like, Micah 6:8 would be one of those verses. It'd fall onto my short list. And one of the reasons I really like it is it answers the question, what do I do with my life? Working with young people, I find and young adults, that's one of the most common things. And even as now I'm in my 40s, I still wrestle with that. What do I do with my life? And these kind of verses bring clarity, it brings direction and perspective on to what we are to be doing with our life. The context of this passage, Micah lives in the southern kingdom. Evil is prevalent. You may remember last summer we looked at the book of Amos. Amos is like a kind of a pre-contemporary to Micah, so just before him. So it's in that same era. Things are bad. Evil is prevalent. The rich, the wealthy have all the power, and the poor just get poorer and poorer. Religious practices for this divided nation, because remember it's Israel in the north and Judah in the south, it's confusing. It's not very good. If the king was bad, the nation was bad. It's that kind of cycle of sin that they're in. And the exile is coming. God's judgment for the northern kingdom is very near, and the southern kingdom, it's a little ways away yet. But before we read this passage of Scripture out loud, I just want us to take a moment to examine our own hearts. Proverbs 21:15 says, "When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to evildoers." I think so often we have our own idea of what's right and wrong and how justice should be served. And that doesn't necessarily mean we are right. It's just we have an idea. And I really want God's idea to speak through to us today. Father God, thank you that you know each and every one of us. Thank you, you even wired us differently, created us differently. We're not all the same. And you know all of our unique qualities and traits. I believe that you've given them to us. And I just ask that through your Spirit that you just speak to us, through your word that you speak to us. Keep our hearts soft. I love you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, could you turn to Micah chapter 6, verse 8? I thought about reading more of it, but today, just in the sake of time, I want to just read that verse today. The NIV says it this way. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The ESV, very similar. "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And the NLT says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." the way that this verse is written, it's not just a male thing. It's not just to the men. So when it says old man, but rather the word that is used is actually for humankind. So this is a verse that applies to all of us. And I don't want to, I know Mike is talking to the Israel nation at this time, but there is a truth here, I think, that applies to us as well. And I'm just going to take time to look at the word justice. The word justice here is mishpat. And the word justice here, mishpat, has sort of two primary meanings. It has a primary justice and has a secondary justice meaning. The primary justice is that we live different holy lives according to God's laws. So in the example of the cookie, you don't eat the cookie. You have a just life. And I think it's easy to live in that camp of understanding this is what you do for justice. You live a just life because you have a list, right? You can have a list of this is what I do and this is what I don't do. And by doing that, you're living a holy life. The secondary justice is we step in making wrongs right. So you stop cookie thieves. You help the victim. And this is also why, if you look every place this word is used in the Old Testament, there's several classes of persons that continually come up over and over. Mishpat describes taking up the care and causes of widows, orphans, immigrants, and the poor. And I'm not sure about you, but I know different passages of scriptures come to mind when I hear that list of these four vulnerable people. One of the things that come to my mind was Isaiah 58. And I just want to read the first seven verses of Isaiah 58. Because I think it speaks to this tension that exists in this doing justice. A tension of this living a just life, but also social causes and doing just things. This is from Isaiah 58. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be afraid. Tell my people, Israel, of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day, and they seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of God. They ask me, God, to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? Why have you been very hard upon? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and you cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide them from relatives. Yeah, from relatives who need your help. I think there's there's these themes that go through scripture, right? And there's this tension that follows through because it's so easy for us to get to one side of it. Like, I think the just living part, man, when I was younger, especially when I was a teenager, that was awesome because I could be zealous in that, right? I don't go to these movies. I don't listen to this music. I don't laugh at these jokes. I don't watch these shows. Like, I had my list, and it's very easy to live there and do that. And I think It's important, like, don't get me wrong. But God is saying, if you're doing all these things, that, and I mean, you could have a right heart, and you could be like a very good monk or a nun or something like that, right? But God's saying, if you're not doing anything to help those around you, you're kind of missing the mark here. So I'm trying to keep to my notes so I keep on time here. On Father's Day, when I preached last, I brought up the greatest commandment, which I feel like is kind of like a similar passage of Scripture in some ways. In Matthew 22, a person comes and talks to Jesus, and he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets." So again, it's like this tension a bit here. And we're not going to get into the mercy part. We're going to look at that next week. We're just looking at the justice side here of due justice. When we think of a situation which you are utterly powerless to get out of, it might not even be a situation that you've ever been in, but you have to try and imagine it. You know, being a poor family in a country like Cambodia, and there's someone who's willing to buy your children and give you money so that you could buy food for yourself, feed other kids. A situation where there is no hope. Maybe you're making bricks for your slave owner, and you're not making enough because your hands are hurting and aching because you don't get any breaks. There's no holidays, there's no time off, and there's no sick days. You have no chance of hope, and life is lost meaning. Now, truthfully, guys, truthfully, church, this is where we all are without Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no hope. God was the greatest example of justice lived out for us. Jesus modeled a just life, but he also gave up everything that he had and set it aside, and he came down and he entered into our situation and into our life. And he walked alongside us. He didn't live in some big palace and just said, "I'm going to keep myself clean because I got to die for you one day." And he walked with us and he did life with us. And he got hungry, he got tired, got frustrated. He saw wrongs being done in front of him. And what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection and ascending to heaven doesn't just give us the opportunity for salvation, but it makes us members of his family and it empowers us to be his ambassadors. Mishpat is not something God desires for us, but he does it and demonstrates it for us. So when he asks us to go and love our neighbor as ourselves, when he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind, he's modeled it. He's done it. This came up. Timothy Keller referenced this, and I really like this. This idea of how people introduce you. Have you ever had someone introduce you and they sort of, they're saying to the person, so this is starting to happen in my life, in my world. And they'll say to someone, "Oh, this is Darren. This is Emery's dad." right? Like they're taking a common thing that this new person that I don't know might know about me, right? It often happens like people say, oh, this Darren's the pastor, the youth pastor at our church. And like, oh, okay, yeah, I know that church. I can imagine what this person's like. Timothy Keller says this. He says, realize then how significant it is that the Bible writers introduce God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows in Psalm 68, verses 4 and 12. This is one of the main things he does in the world. He identifies with the powerless, and he takes up their cause. Just in closing, Proverbs 24, verses 11 to 12 says this. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Guys, we live in an age where social justice, it's a trend, it's a hashtag, it's a selfie, it's something that people want to get a picture of them doing so that it looks good. Businesses want to be part of it so they can sell more stuff and make more money. But really, they're a little late to the game. This is something that the church is always supposed to have been part of and been doing. And not doing it in a way of just making ourselves look good, but rather in a way where someone has already done it for us, where Christ has done it for us. And we can enter in to the lives of those who are in the margins, who are being oppressed, who are without. And we can walk alongside them and care for them. And we get to live out this mishpat, this do justice. And the word do right before it, it's asha, it's a verb meaning to do, to make, to accomplish, to complete. Now, in my prayer at the very beginning, I prayed that God knows each and every one of us uniquely, and we're all different. None of us are the same. So I really think this is a benefit to the church and how God made things. When we think of injustices that are around us or things that we want to do or an action, it's going to be different for each of us. And I think that's beautiful. It also might get a little messy because we're going to be going different ways. But we don't need to compete with one another. We can encourage and be the body to one another and walk with one another. And I think there's different seasons in life, too, and how you will be involved at different things. I want to pray for you. Pray for us as a church as we live out justice in our neighborhood, in our workplace, and in our country, and in our world. Father God, thank you. This is not something that you just commanded of us and you're not willing to do, like, just go clean your room. I'm just going to stand here and watch until it's done. But you've entered in. You've walked with us. You've also sent your Spirit that lives with us, lives in us, and tugs on our hearts and empowers us. And Father God, I pray that we would want to be doing things, living, fighting injustices in this world, not for our own gain, but for you. Would you just open our hearts and our eyes, Lord God, to what's going on right here in our own neighborhoods? I think we used to think that bad things didn't happen around here, but world's changing and maybe our eyes are just getting more open to it, but it's all around us. And maybe that's an invitation for us to get involved and to do something. I think it's also a reminder that you're coming soon, Jesus, and may we May we find ourselves being workers with our hands on the plow when you come. May we be busy doing the things that you've called us to do and not so worried about the other stuff. And God, would you just continue to build your church here in Coaldale, in Alberta, in Canada, and around the world, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Amen.